Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds.
We're back. We're not only back, we're back in action. It's the Stone Cold Quarterback segment each and every week. You guys know the drill. I, Stone Lebanowitz, go around the country looking for the top performer at the quarterback position. Let me tell you, this one, this man, not hard to find at all. Signal caller, shot caller, Nick Hill's shooter, sniper, starting quarterback for the Southern Illinois Salukis, DJ Williams. DJ, first time joining the show, forever a friend of the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your game week to hop on and chop it up with me in FCS Nation.
Nah, thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
It's been an exciting run. 4 weeks in for you guys. We're going to talk about a plethora of different things, from where DJ came from to where he's headed, to the things that he's accomplished, to the things that he's going to accomplish. Right off the bat, DJ, for those of you who don't know, in full transparency, we had a conversation before we started rolling here that I spent the last 2-3 months, call it 4 months, in lead up to the season. Us as media, our season gets going in the preseason. When you guys are just waking up at 5 in the morning, ass crack of dawn, and getting in the weight room, we are sitting here just spewing opinions and takes on football teams. And for us, me and my co-host, Kevin Marshall, we do it about FCS. And I had been telling people for, like I said, those months that DJ Williams is going to slap every single one of you in the face. And for those of you who don't know who DJ Williams is, that just excites me a little more. I've been so high on you, partially because of the conversations that I've had with the coaching staff. I'm very close with Nick Hill, and some of the things that he has said about you, I will definitely put into the public space because I think you deserve it. And I think the Salukis and everybody in that football facility deserves that kind of publicity. So I will do that. But for those of you who haven't heard me talk about DJ and where he's come from and what he's about and who he is behind that face mask, tell us, DJ, where does DJ Williams come from? Kind of take us through your story as fast as you can from start to finish, like location by location by location.
Thank you again for having me, Stone, man. It's a blessing to be on here. But I'm just a kid, man, from Harvey, Illinois. Grew up playing the game that I love, just watching my brother, my older brother, play for the Harvey Coats. And I fell in love just going around playing a game. I started off playing every position possible when I first got out on the football field. And I feel like that has helped me to get in the position where I am today. And I ended up picking up some offers from FCS schools right after that, man. There was Eastern Illinois and Murray State, and I chose Murray State, where I ended up playing most of my collegiate football career at. Dean Hood did the best he could with me, and we had great times, great memories. He built me as a man, taught me things that I needed to learn to keep improving on my life, and eventually ran out of time. I had to part ways with that situation just because we was on two different accords. We weren't winning. The program was going in a different way, and we had a great conversation. He allowed me to go trace my dreams, and he preached the best to me about to every coach because the relationship we had. Coach Hill understood that when I got in the portal, and that's how I ended up here, man. Just a blessing by just Coach Hill coming in and me having to sit down with him and understanding his mindset, him as an offensive coordinator, him as a quarterback, him understanding the game is what I needed. I needed somebody who had that little pizzazz and understood the game of football at a quarterback lens. Everybody don't see the game as well or the same way as quarterbacks do. So I knew I wanted to come play for him, and it's been great ever since, man. I can't thank Coach Hill enough for the way he talks about me, but the real thing is the way he loves me, man. Like the love that Coach Hill has for me, I don't think I've had that feeling from a coach since Dontrell Jackson. And I feel like you can play and give your all to a coach like that, and that he understands that he wants the best for you, and you both have the same goals for yourself. It was just great to basically come in contact with Coach Hill. It was a blessing to have him by my side and have him right here by my side going through this season.
I love it. Preaching like a preacher, Mr. DJ Williams. Again, having a chat here with the Saluki signal caller. Everything you said about Nicholas Hill, I, Stone Lebanowitz, will co-sign on as far as the love, the pizzazz. A lot of the things that you talked about hit me deep. I understand completely what you're talking about, and it's dope. DJ, you talked about it being fantastic, your stint so far at Southern Illinois, so far, because we're just getting started here. Last year, your season gets cut short for injury. We will touch on that, but for right now, you guys are 3-1, playing fantastic football, only lost to an FBS Purdue, so call it what you want. For me, watching, that was a 45-minute knife fight. Legitimately, it was score, it was level, it was score, it was level, and it kept going that way until it seemed like there was just no more gas left in the tank, which is typically how things go in some of those matchups. But you guys 110% belonged on that field. So the Salukis right now, 3-1, you yourself, DJ, coming off an offensive player of the week performance in the Missouri Valley against your biggest rival, Southern Illinois' biggest rival in Southeast Missouri, SEMO, as a lot of people call it. Listen, you, 493 yards that you were responsible for, 6 touchdowns that you were responsible. Put a 60 burger on Simo's head. You did it on their own turf. Highest point total in a 93-year rivalry that you guys have had with them. Pretty ridiculous stuff. You, though, career highs all over the place. 4 passing, 2 rushing. The ball took flight for 342 yards. Your passer rating was hilarious. The rushing yards, 151, and right off the ripper, 75 yards. You took it to the house. Listen, DJ, there are signs that a team is legit. Signs that a team is a contender. Signs that a position player is the real deal. One of those signs, to me, is just completely blowing out your biggest rival. It just is. When you look at matchups like Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, Miami, when Auburn beats Georgia, we know Auburn's a player that year. You kind of see where I'm going right here. I mentioned prior, you dropped a 60 burger on your biggest rival's head on their own turf. Coming out of that game, did it give you a little boost of, yeah, we're those guys. We are 110% the team that we thought we were.
Man, the biggest boost was like us responding to the disrespect from last year of those guys and how they celebrated on our field and how it all happened. I mean, we got punked last year to a point where Coach Hill said that on the headset when I was out. And that was my first game out. And I really didn't understand the rivalry too much. We played each other and stuff like that, but he was pissed. He took that very personal. He said we got punked, and that's not what a Coach Hill football team plays like. And I feel like that was the biggest thing I took from the game is how we came out and did the same thing this year. We went out and did and punked them, and on their own field, on their home turf, and we did it with class. I mean, nobody expected that game to go like that.
Whoa! It was pretty close to my prediction.
Hey man, a lot of people.
Count.
Let's say the people on the outside didn't expect this game to go like that. Everybody talks about how good Simo is and the reputation they have and how close these games have been. And I told Coach Hill, like, man, I don't want this to be close. I want to go make a statement. And that's what the team went out there and did from the opening kickoff. You talked about the first play of the game. Yeah, I told Coach Hill that play was going for a touchdown on Thursday in the openers meeting. Like, yeah, I've seen this coverage all week, and if they're going to play like this, there's no way that I'm not going to take this to the house. So I told him that from the jump. Like, it's just things like that we come out and I just like how our team is responding right now to just every situation we've been in, just going out there and fighting. That's the biggest thing about it, and that's the biggest – thing I took from that game and from these first couple games that we're going to continue to fight. We're going to come out there and not play around with nobody. We're going to go out there and put our foot down and let the chips fall where they fall.
DJ, give me a moment in lead up to this season, a single moment, and I'll give you a second to think, where you looked around the field during practice, during a workout, during a lift, where you looked around and said, hold up, we're not just good. Like, we're in this thing. I'll be here all year. This defense is legit. We turn the ball over at will, or at least we're going to, and this staff is serious. Was there a moment, was there a day where you kind of flipped the switch and lead up to the season and determined that the Salukis were going to be a legit threat to anybody on the schedule this season?
I've had a lot of just days where I've thought, like, this team could be something more than what everybody else is projecting us to be. In the spring, I had the day when the defense was, because this is a new defensive coordinator, Coach Farm, and stuff like that. So the first time we went against the defense in the spring, I'm like, oh, if they get all the pieces that they need, this defense can just hold people out of the end zone and make the game long and just give me a ball back and things like that. So they was making it a little tough on me the first couple of days. And I'm like, okay, if they can make it tough on me, they're not going to see too many people better than me. They're not going to see nobody better than me when they play. So I'm like, all right, we get to the summer and like the workouts are going and leaders are starting to step up. More leaders are starting to step up. One day I remember us coming out in the summer and everything just felt down. Like everybody knows those days of just having the energy down and people don't feel like doing nothing. And all the leaders came up like, nah, that's BS. This is not what we're going to do. if we want to be something, we gotta put our foot down now. It don't matter what we're going through or how we feel, but we gotta go work every day. And once the leaders, I start seeing a leader do that, and then people really following the leaders and understanding that is a bigger goal ahead, and we just gotta win the day every day. I start seeing that more and more. And then we had a retreat, basically like a senior retreat, or if you want to call it that, a veterans retreat, honestly. And we sat down and just talked and spilled our hearts out about everything. Real conversations, real things we need to have. Talks about coaches and talks about players and things like that. And you just seen everything change that day. Like, we got to play for each other. This team is tighter than I've ever... this is probably the tightest team I've ever been on. Like, cordially, there's no real groups around. Like, it's a real team. Everybody hangs out with each other and stuff like that. And after that day at the retreat, everybody meant business. Like, everything we talked about translated over to the workouts, translated over to practice. The little things we talked about is about getting on the next person at practice at that retreat. We start doing those things. I start seeing it come to fruition about what we was trying to put out there. And that's the biggest day I can really just pinpoint. Like, all right, everybody came together on this day and understood, like, we got big dreams, and we got to handle those things day by day. But once we handle the little things, the big things start showing up.
I appreciate you sharing that moment. Every single football player, especially somebody in a leadership role and somebody who plays the quarterback position, has that moment. I can think back to a few myself, and they're good feelings. And it goes for every team around the country. But for DJ Williams in Southern Illinois, it was the veteran senior retreat, call it what you want, where you're having deeper conversations than you normally do, and you realize that, yeah, this is just a little different over here. DJ, you're surging right now, completing 70% of your passes, four digits through the air right now through four games, and a 9-2 touchdown to INT ratio. Season got cut short last year. Hand injury, had some surgery. Do you feel like you're in form right now, playing the best ball you can, or are we still on a steady incline? Because I think you're playing some of your best ball.
Nah, I gotta be wrong. I gotta be real with you, Stone. It's not my best ball. Those two turnovers should have never happened. And I look back on everything. I shouldn't have certain incompletions. I should have a 75% completion rate right now. And I'm looking at those things on film, the little details. I think we left a lot of points out there against Purdue. We should have been 4-0.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, little things like that, I don't feel like I'm at my best ball right now. I've had completions out there that I've missed, some little dink and dunk stuff that I take some off and don't try to drill it on them, and I've missed high and stuff like that, or left it low. And that all just comes with me just trusting my teammates and trusting the God-given abilities that I have, and the things that I worked on all offseason, coming to play in this season. So I don't feel like I'm at my best shape right now. I'm just getting started. Four games in, after taking a pretty much a whole year off, I mean, I'm just getting started, honestly. It's going to be a lot more to come. And if people want to continue to just game plan around me, let them have at it, because it's going to be a lot of things that they haven't seen yet. If people think I can't do something, I can do everything on the field. And once they start trying to take away one thing, they're going to allow me to do much more. So I feel like day by day, we're going to continue to see steady progression game by game. And everybody going to see why I'm the best player in the country come the end of the season. And that's what I'm really moving towards. Honestly, I'm not trying to worry about these last couple games. It's a blessing to have those awards. I'm trying to go win that every week, honestly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, I was watching a sit down with, I believe it was James Cook and Keon Coleman. Taylor Rooks was interviewing them, and their motto, the Buffalo Bills motto right now, is everybody eats. And I feel like Coach Nick Hill follows that method, especially calling plays and how he builds his offense out. So yeah, try to take away DJ and you're going to see VD. You're going to see a bunch of these guys eat. Everybody eats for the Salukis offense. And to your answer, right, addressing that, you talked about, hell no, I'm not playing my best ball. I'm kind of just getting started here. I know the people in Grand Forks. I know the people in Fargo. I know the people in Normal. I know the people in Vermilion just absolutely hate to hear an answer like that. Me personally, I absolutely love it. Hey, DJ, I mentioned the injury. He got knocked out of the lineup with a hand injury. Sat out the rest of the way last year. Didn't really get to put yourself on display. Didn't really get to put that much tape under you. I think hence why you kind of went under the radar creeping into the start of the season. The rehab process starts and a certain somebody comes into the mix in a big way. A lifeline. A rock. I think everybody who's been in Carbondale has been a Saluki and put on those pads and that jersey. It's their favorite human being. I'm talking about your strength and conditioning coach, Meade Smith. Listen, there are two people. I tell people this all the time. There are two people in a college athletics facility who deserve the most respect and know more about the name strapped across the front of your jersey than legitimately anybody. And it's the strength coach and the play-by-play voice. These are guys who have been around every single player for the past two, three, sometimes four, five plus decades. They've seen the place at its best, at its worst, at its most average. Kind of know where I'm going here. The play-by-play voice can watch 1 week of fall camp practices and probably give you a somewhat accurate prediction on the team's record when the season's all said and done. A strength coach sees you every single day of your life, skinny, scrawny DJ walking in from Murray State. Fast forward 3 years and that kid's a mammoth hitting PRs. These guys watch boys and their bodies change and watch boys turn into men. A top three human being for me is Meade Smith. What was the rehab process like? Who took care of you and how much stronger do you feel right now?
The rehab process was great. Honestly, me trying to get me back in there the day after surgery, and I wasn't really up for that. Med stuff like that, hand just not feeling great after somebody surgically repairing it. So me was trying to push me and hurry up and get back in the weight room and not just be sitting around, because we thought we was going to make it to the playoffs and I was just going to be back for the playoffs. And things didn't work out as planned, but we still stayed the course the whole time. Meade and Mike were like my best friends. I stayed there all the time, but the first couple weeks I was really running away from Meade because we got right back to it so quickly. I accidentally hit my hand real hard on a bar, on like a like the safety bars. I hit my hand on like one of the safety bars real hard on accident trying to go through a drill. Hand was too close, hit it in it, and my hand didn't feel too good for the rest of the week. So I'm like, yeah, Meade, I'm gonna hold off for a minute. I'm gonna wait till these pins come out. So once the pins came out, it was really just right back to work. I started back running, started back doing little things like that. I knew that I've been injured before. I've had season ending injuries and stuff like that, so I knew that I couldn't dwell about it. I knew it was a bigger plan for me at the end of the day, and we got right to work. Strength wise, we set out a plan. I sat down with our nutritionist Alex, sat down a plan with him about eating right, getting better food, make sure that I get some more muscle on me, get some lose some body fat, things like that that we have here at Southern Illinois. And it was just great to do those things. But me and Meade spent a lot of time together, and me to tell you, I stayed in there every day no matter what, getting extra work in, trying to figure out my body, trying to get my core right, get everything stronger, lose body fat and gain more muscle mass and stuff like that. Meade was right there every step of the way. Whatever I needed, he set out a plan for. If I needed a core workout, he set out that workout. If I needed to work on some more shoulder mobility or need some shoulder carry, he set that out. Anything I needed from me, he put it together in a quick instant. And it was good to have somebody like that he believes in me. If you call me right now, he'll tell you we have talks, and he tell me when people don't know who I am and they ask me to introduce myself, like going to games, somebody on a board or something like that was around, and they introduced themselves, they asked me what's my name and stuff like that, and me text me afterwards like, you introduced yourself wrong. Introduce yourself as the best player. That's the best player in the country that's leading his team. And that's just the type of relationship me and me have. I have a great relationship with his kids. It's just like a family to me. Everybody around here is family. I spend so much time at the facility, so everybody just gets to know me, and I get to know them on a more personal level. Me took very great care of me, and then Mike made sure I had everything I needed on the rehab process. And then whenever my body's feeling banged up or anything like that, I go to Mike, and we set out a plan quick, just like me and me did, and we get right to it. And that's the best thing about those two. They I can call them at any time of the day and ask about anything to get the help that I need.
A quote from Coach Meade Smith: you're introducing yourself, and correctly introduce yourself as the best football player in the country, as the best quarterback in the country. That right there is a quote that multiple staff members use. Having conversations with your head coach, he tells me now, and he told me then, that he's the best quarterback in the country. DJ Williams, I'm telling you, is the best quarterback in the country. He's not just the best quarterback in the country, he's the best football player in the subdivision right now. Me, buying stock and all of that, I'm reaping the benefits right now. I'm raking it all in right now. It's very rare that you have multiple staff members call one of their players the best in the country, but there are guys in Carbondale doing it confidently. Talk a little bit about that. You said it at Media Day too. Did you feel like you're the best player in the country? Talk about that mindset and how and why you actually believe that?
First of all, the real reason I really believe that, the first reason is because I know nobody outworks me. No matter what you want to say about me, if I feel like it's a weakness of mine, it's not going to be a weakness the next week or the next year or anything like that. And I've been like that since I've gotten to college. Which has always been a work ethic. I told you, like, Dontrell Jackson, where I come from, he told me if you want to ever be something in life, you're going to have to outwork everybody. And that means making sure that you put countless hours into this. And I put so many hours into this game and into my body and into this program that I know that what I'm capable of. And I've seen the second reason is really I've seen everybody play last year. And I clearly feel like nobody was out there doing what I could do. Some people are in very good situations for themselves and sitting behind an O-line that's probably giving them 10 seconds and they can just sit back and dial it up and stuff like that. And I mean, you can have that luxury. And when I tell you, if you put me in that situation, I'll thrive just like you. But a lot of people can't do it in different environments and stuff like that. If everything's not going well, they can't really perform it. I feel like I perform at my best in the biggest moments. I don't feel like too many people do. I plan a game that I'm playing at the highest level as I played it. And I actually seen the national champion last year. I seen Cam Miller play firsthand last year. And don't get me wrong, Cam Miller is a great player. He's in the NFL for a reason. But if he was up there for the Walter Payton Award and has a Walter Payton in his house, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I felt like I can do that. I saw Mark Gronowski. He had a couple Walter Payton Awards in his house. So I'm like, hey, these guys are, if we're going to be honest, can't
wear the jockstrap.
Yeah, you know, like that's the type of thing that's going through my head, and I know they're not putting in more work than me, because if it's even close, I'm gonna start working harder, and I don't think I can work any more harder, stuff like that. I push myself to those type of limits, and then I just see it come to fruition. God has blessed me with unbelievable talents, and then he's allowed me to be on this great team and with this great coaching staff and with Nick Hill, that's allowing me to thrive in this situation that I'm in now. So I just knew that everything would come to fruition, everything would come to light. The work you do in the dark gonna come to light, and that's what I believe most. I felt like that was gonna come around, and my time was coming.
Pretty refreshing to hear a college student athlete talk about themselves in that fashion with so much confidence, and a lot of it has been backed up. I don't think there was a damn lie told in that entire spiel right there. Hey, I want to go through this Missouri Valley Football Conference preseason poll here. Let's start with number one, North Dakota State, reigning champions. Number two, South Dakota State. Number three, South Dakota. Number four, Illinois State. Number five, Youngstown State. Number six, Southern Illinois. Did you look at this list? Did you see this list? Did you laugh at this list? Did this list motivate you? Preseason ranking number six in your own conference. I got a feeling you knew that was a lie before that first ball got kicked off. How much did this piss you off?
I mean, that was probably the fifth thing that pissed me off this offseason. It was probably the biggest thing that pissed me off, but that was probably the fifth biggest thing that pissed me off this year. The first thing that pissed me off was all when I saw all these quarterback lists come out. I've seen quarterback lists where I was 24 and every quarterback in our conference that probably didn't even play a snap of football as a starter was ahead of me. I got those lists on my phone still. So when the time comes, it'll show. And I knew that personally. I knew that this team was going to put in a lot of work and we was going to be able to show our talents and let those things come to light. The same way we were projected to go top four in the conference last year and we was eighth or whatever in a conference is the same way I felt this year. Everybody got to go prove it now. Whatever you say, a media day is a media day. At the end of the day, that's when the media wins. That's the only day in the calendar year where the media can go out there and win a game, can win some talking matches and talking games for you, but they can't go out there and play on those Saturdays against us. So I knew that everybody had their time and everybody was going to have to back up what they thought about themselves. And everybody thinks certain ways about themselves and everybody's entitled to their opinion, but we're going to go make a lot of things facts when we go play people. So that's the biggest thing about it. I feel like everybody got to just go show us if there's a rate of hiring us in preseason polls and stuff like that, you got to go prove it now. There's no more talking. Like I said, at media day, that was the last time you could talk about anything. You got to go prove it now. Everything got to be backed up on the field. And that's why I really wanted to come out at.
Mr. Williams, Valley Football Conference games get rocking and rolling here. You got the trees on deck, Indiana State. Give me your best coach's talk when it comes to the lead up. How you see this game. Break it down. How it's being spoken about in the team meetings and the QB right now. This team has a fantastic head coach. Other than that, I'm not too high on them. How are you guys preparing for the trees?
Like we do every other team. Honestly, it's start of conference play. And everybody knows this is the hardest conference in the country to play in. And the FCS. So we got to go out there and prove it every week. We can't go out there and play lax. Today's school, we've been in a position where we've been a top dog and we've been expected to win games and we lost them. Last year we lost to Indiana State, up 17-0 at halftime, and that didn't sit well with me at all. And at that point, they took our playoff hopes away from us after that loss. And so at this point, we got to go out there and prove ourselves. We got to go out there and prove that we are the team that we say we are. We got to go out there and practice how we supposed to practice. Like, this is a playoff game, because at the end of the day, it is. At the end of the day, we're trying to be having a bye when the playoffs come. So it starts now. We got to go put our foots on their necks as soon as we step on the field in Saluki Stadium next Saturday. And that's the real message to the team. We can't play around with nobody. We don't have the room or the time to play around with nobody if we're trying to go win conference.
You said it, proving to people that you are the team that you think you are. Who are you most excited to prove it against? And I'll put a slash next to that and also ask, what is a game on the schedule that I, Stone Abandonments, need to be at, need to see with my own eyes? Which one is circled here? Is it the trip to Fargo? Is it when you host North Dakota? Is it Saluki Stadium showdown with Aiden Bauman, another top-tier quarterback, another gold-tier quarterback, dare I say, in South Dakota? Those boys from Vermillion come down. Or when you travel to Normal and take on Illinois State? Which one do you have circled the most?
If we're going to be honest, it's the champs. If we're going to be totally honest, every game is important, but we can cut the crap. That is the champs. You want to go beat the champs. If you want to go prove who you are, and you say you the best at this, you say that, you say who you are, you got to go prove it against the champs, and that's the biggest game. We're going to go play in their place, and that's the reigning national champs, the reigning conference champs. If you want to go prove it, that's the best place to go prove it. All eyes will be on that. You'll gain your respect out of that. Everybody don't have us ranked very high. Some people got us ranked high, and people got Ivy League schools, and in this conference, you're going to be able to go prove who you say you are, honestly. If you are saying you're the best team in the country and you saying you're the best player in the country, this is the time to go prove it, and it's the conference to go prove it in. It's a statement week every week, and if you want to go chase something, you got to go chase the champs.
Give me a second here. I'm circling October 11th.
Yep.
Fargo, North Dakota, 2:30 kick. ESPN Plus, as always. That one, folks, might get flexed. That's one you're 100% going to want to get your eyes on. Dogs versus the champs. DJ, a few things as we wrap up here. Something that I'm personally curious about and curious to know as you approach graduating now, as you start to see the light at the end of the tunnel here. Thinking back to when you were a puppy at Murray State to this moment right here, what have been some of the biggest lifestyle changes you've made personally since being in college, and especially at Southern Illinois?
God is the biggest thing that I've changed about my life. I believed in God before I got to college. I've used to say all glory to God, and I used to go to church probably once or twice a year, and that was phony, of me, and I was being an imposter and doing something that I wasn't living by. I wasn't living a godly life. I wasn't going out there and preaching the word of God around every platform that I touch in. And I'm doing that now. And I'm going to church after every win, after every loss, thanking him for allowing me to do what I love to do. And every post-game press conference you're going to see is me giving all glory to God, because without him, none of this would be possible, man. He's allowed me the strength to come back from those injuries that I've come back from. He's allowed me to be here in Southern Illinois and have a input on what my career goes from here and stuff like that. So I would say that's the biggest change, honestly, me knowing that God has a plan for me and trusting that his plans for me are aligning with mine.
That's well said, brother. Fluid like a poet. DJ, I always wrap up these Stone Cold Quarterback segments with rapid fire questions where I give you one word, the very first word that comes to your head. I'm going to ask you some questions, some phrases. I need you just off the dome to just rip what comes first, all right?
Yep, I got you.
Favorite NFL QB?
That's off the rip, Lamar Jackson.
Favorite college QB? Not current.
Not current. Favorite college QB ever? Tim Tebow or Cam Newton?
The very good answers. Favorite TV show character?
Ghost from Power.
Favorite TV show?
Either Power or Chicago PD.
Chicago PD's a sleeper. My grandma loved it, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Favorite, you got 15 bones in your pocket. Favorite fast food restaurant?
Probably Wendy's.
What are we getting, 4 for $4 or spicy chicken?
Nah, we're getting a nugget. We're getting a 10-piece nugget.
Spicy?
Meal, no, regular. And then we're getting a regular spicy chicken sandwich, though. We're getting a spicy chicken sandwich with it.
Okay. You got your picks.
Yeah.
Huge Wendy's fan. I think they got the best fries in the fast food game, and nobody gives them the respect they deserve.
Hey, right there. For sure.
Do you believe in Santa Claus?
Nope. But my brother ruined that for me very early. Told me my mama gave me all my gifts.
UFOs are real.
Yes. Yes, Jalen for Hurts. Sure. Consistent.
Celebrity crush.
Celebrity crush would be Paige Hurd.
Another celebrity crush.
Another celebrity crush. I would get in trouble with it for this because she's kind of older than me, but Lauren London.
Antoine Randall L.
Legendary.
Sleep.
A lot.
Reading books.
Knowledge.
Redheads.
Tall.
Favorite movie.
All About the Benjamins.
Men Crying.
Tough. Tough Men Cry.
In a zombie apocalypse, what is your weapon of choice?
I think I want a sword.
Just to slice them?
Yep.
Is your bed made right now?
Nope.
Favorite pregame artist? Wow, dude. You shouldn't have said that. You should not have said that. You're getting got tomorrow. You're getting got when this airs. Favorite
man,
pregame?
That's not
wow, that is... you should have just lied. Favorite pregame artist?
Right before the game, I put on gospel music, so Kirk Franklin. But before we get off the bus and in the locker room for a little bit before I walk out there, G Herbo.
Last song you downloaded?
Polo G, Chinatown 2.
Okay. If you could have a chance to go to dinner with any celebrity, who is that?
LeBron James.
Ooh, that right there is going to do it, folks, for the Stone Cold Quarterback segment, week 4 to week 5 edition. DJ Williams, the signal caller, the shot caller, the sniper, all the above. I could go down the list. I'm a huge fan of this kid. I know all of you guys should be, and if you're already not, and if you're just learning about DJ, well, stay tuned because we are just getting rolling here. DJ, thank you so much for giving the show some time this week in the middle of game week, of course.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me.
Good luck the rest of the way. Good luck against Indiana State.